University of Mainz. Michael is going to talk on something which you might not connect to audio and low latency at first, the Q programming language. I understood it about term replacement theory. I read the paper somewhat, I understood somewhat. But as I see, there's quite a couple of packages for Q already. There is a lot of work going on, and so I hope you'll bring us closer to this unusual subject.
Yes, okay, thanks. Good, so I have to hurry up a bit. Just to give you a quick rundown of the talk. So the famous quiz, last questions, what and why, and then how. And with what I mean, what is the Q programming language, why did it come about, and then I'm going to talk about the library. This is what you will be interested in, especially the multimedia features. Because I'm interested in a lot of things, and two areas are functional programming, and the other area is multimedia, and so audio, VD, and so on. And so I was interested in getting this to work, this programming language to work with multimedia libraries, and this talk is about this. So as you all want to see nice applications, I'm also going to try to do a little demo at the end, so I hope that this will work out. Good. So what is Q? Well, introducing a programming language in some 5 minutes is not an option, so I will just try to give you an idea. As Frank has already indicated, it's a language based on term rewriting. Now, what is term rewriting? It's something you all know. It's about rewriting expressions pretty much in the same way you've done formula manipulation maybe at the university or in high school. So it's about algebraic manipulation of expressions. The rest is jargon. So there's a lot of theory about this, but fortunately you don't need much of the theory for programming in it. So the idea is that, and this will sound familiar if you know programming languages like ML or Haskell, which are on a similar track, the idea is that your programs are just collections of equations. And I've put up a very basic example up here. So this is just a program consisting of one equation, which says that sqr x equals x times x, so that defines a function to square things. And in Q it's actually, this is totally polymorphic, so you can use this with anything which knows multiplication. And so this would define a function square, which squares things. And computing with such an equation works like this. This is now the term rewriting part. You read the equation, or the interpreter reads the equation from left to right, and then it proceeds like this. You have a so-called radix. You want to evaluate this expression over here, and then you have an expression called a radix, a sub-expression of the expression you want to evaluate. In this case, the leftmost, innermost radix would be this expression here, which can be reduced according to this equation. So square 2 turns into 2 times 2. Then a built-in rule of the Q interpreter kicks in and gets rid of this multiplication here. So this is the next radix, it's reduced to 4, and so on. We first have to reduce this, then we get this. This is the next radix, which is again reduced according to this equation, and then you get something like this and the final result. So these are the actual steps which will be performed by the interpreter, and of course this happens very quickly. So there are of course many more features to the language, and a few more I have shown here. This is just Euclid's algorithm for computing the greatest common divisor of two numbers. Very, very simplified version. And so you see, you can have more than one equation, to define a function, of course. It's not always as easy as in this case. So here you have three equations, all for the same left-hand side. And you can have conditional equations. This is this, if here, this is not an if statement, it's a condition on the equation. So the equation will be only applied if this condition is true. So you also have otherwise, which is just syntactic sugar for an empty condition. And you can also have left-hand sides which are more complicated than what you usually have when you define a function in Lisp or in C. You can have patterns. So in this case, you write lists in a style similar to Prolog. So this denotes the empty list, and this denotes a list with that element x and rest of the list x's, just as you write it in Prolog. And now the equation says, okay, whenever qsort is applied to a list like this, then the result is defined recursively, of course. Well, you take the elements less than x from x's, and you take the elements which are at least x from x's, and you sort them recursively, and then you put the element x in between. This is list concatenation, so this is qsort, quick sort in three lines. Actually two, but because of the formatting, well, it's two equations. Anyway, so you have a programming language in which everything is equations, and executing something, a program, means that you have an expression that you want to evaluate, in principle. So the interpreter takes the expressions from you and gives you back the results. And there are also certain functions which can execute side effects, so that you can do input, output, and stuff like this, reading MIDI, writing MIDI in a convenient manner, in a convenient way. So, this is a question I get asked quite often, because there's something like Lisp, you all know that. Then there are languages like ML. ML has been invented, I think, at the end of the 1970s, so it's also fairly old. And there's Haskell, of course, which has been developed, real development started, I think, at the beginning of the 90s as well. That was about the same time when I started this stuff. So why do you embark on such a project? So the short answer is, of course, well, because I can, but the long answer is, this all started out actually as a master thesis project. So for this project, I had an idea for a new pattern matching algorithm. And this was also presented as a paper at the Rewriting Techniques and Applications Conference, so the reference is in the paper, if you want to read this up. And so I thought, well, I have a nice algorithm here which lets me do ternary writing quite quickly, so this could be a practical programming language, and this is how it all started. So about 1991, I wasn't even using Linux yet at that time. Linux wasn't about to be born at that time. But in 1993, then I started porting all this stuff to Linux in spring 1993. And in the end, it kind of grew, this software. But in the end, I also had some ideas. I wanted something which is which looks as nice as Haskell. I didn't know Haskell at that time, but I knew the book by Bird and Wadler about functional programming, which is based on a very similar notation. And I wanted to have something as clean as this, but with dynamic typing and stuff from Lisp. And so I thought ternary writing is a good fit for this. And so it turned out quite different for both ML and Haskell, which are strongly typed languages. And I'd say, and many of its users are, there are not all that many users right now, but the users there are mainly users from Haskell or ML, which think it's simpler or use it because it's simpler. It's an interpreted language, so that has its advantages. And it uses one of the most important things, it uses dynamic typing. So I tend to think of it as a kind of functional scripting language. Of course, there's also Lisp, which is used for that purpose. But Q has the advantage that it uses a modern syntax, which is more, well, at least for some programmers, it's easier to work with as with Lisp. Then, well, the question, why did I redo all this multimedia stuff? Actually, I didn't redo it. I just did some interfaces. So when I started to do multimedia stuff, I think that was about 1999 or something, I wanted to have something which I could also hand over to the students and tell them, okay, work with this. And I tried to find some stuff to do real-time MIDI and audio programming, and I had trouble finding something which is embedded in a general purpose language, with the exception of Lisp. There are certain Lisp dialects which offer some of those facilities, but I didn't find everything which I needed, so I decided to do that on my own. So the system, basic rundown of the system is like this. This is the only part that I'm going to discuss in any depth today. Well, we have a standard library, which does the kind of stuff you nowadays expect from a general-purpose functional programming language. So there's lists and additional functions on lists, and strings are kind of lists which can get infinitely long. So those lists are evaluated in a lazy fashion. We have different kinds of container structures. We have an implementation of the lambda calculus, which is the basics, which is the basic calculus for other functional programming languages, but not for Q, because Q is based on term rewriting. And of course, you can implement lambda calculus with term rewriting as well. So what else do we have? We do have certain modules which deal with graphical user interfaces and graphics. So this isn't the most fancy toolkit. I also started doing stuff with Qt, of course, but I won't go into any details there. We have stuff, well, the system interface is fairly complete as well, of course not as comprehensive as with languages like Python or Perl, but I think it's good enough for most stuff. And we have some stuff dealing with scientific programming, so there's an interface to Octave, which is a numeric computation software, and Open Data Explorer from IBM, which is also open source software to do scientific visualization, and difficult word. And graph library I've written myself in Q, which deals with combinatorial graphs. So if you want to do some network stuff, finding shortest paths and stuff like this, this is what this is for. Then there are some web programming facilities, including a module for Apache. And for doing other kinds of stuff, in the latest version of Q, we also have a SWG interface. SWG is the simplified wrapper and interface generator, which lets you generate interfaces for C libraries from just the header file and certain additional information. And then you get a module which you can use in Q, which can be loaded dynamically. It's compiled to a shared library, and then you can load it dynamically. So this lets you interface to the C and C++ world. And then we have, well, this part which I'm going to talk about today, a multimedia library which just allows you to do some stuff with audio. MIDI, it's maybe old-fashioned, but it's still useful and necessary. And OC, of course, which is one of the hot topics, I think, of this conference. So I was quite lucky that I included that. And OpenGL, we've just finished that module. Those two are only available in CVS right now, but they will probably be released in the course of the next few weeks. And we also have an OpenAL module working, so that you can also do 3D sound stuff as well. Okay, so this is the part that I'm going to talk about today, and I think I have to hurry up a bit now. So the MIDI interface is based on Gram's MIDI share, because, well, it has some nice features. I'm going to abbreviate now, and especially this dynamic routing aspect that MediShare allows, and it's been around for a long time. It's very mature, and well, some speciality related to queue. We represent MIDI messages not as in the way that MediShare represents it itself, but as an algebraic data type. So you can write data types which represent MIDI messages. I'm going to show this in a minute. And you can represent MIDI sequences then as lists. And MediShare also has a very nice standard MIDI file support, so we also provide an interface to this. So this is a sample program. And up here, you have some boilerplate code for getting some connections to I/O devices. But the interesting part is here, this is a very simple function to do transpositions. And here you see, this is again pattern matching, so you just write it down like this. Well, if I want to transpose something by K semitones, and this is a prototypical pattern for the note on message, then I just leave the channel as it is, and I take the note number and increment it by K, and I leave the velocity value as it is. So the same for note off. You probably would want to add some additional equations here too, but for a simple program, this is enough. And this just maps all other messages to themselves, so it's the identity on all other messages. And here, this is just a little loop which keeps on reading MIDI here. So it's just interested in a message, then it sends out transposed MIDI there, and then it calls itself. So this is another little detail of modern functional programming languages. You don't have iteration, you have tail recursion. It's called tail recursion, which means that, this function calls itself at the end of the processing. And in good functional programming languages, of course, you have this is optimized away so that it runs just as efficient as iteration in imperative programming languages. So this is the basic processing loop, and this is actually a complete program that you can run to transpose stuff in real time. So it's quite condensed. Just to give you a quick overview, at what's available for audio processing in queue, we have an interface to port audio, and we have, of course, obligatory interface to LIPS sound file to read sound files. Then I've also written a little wave module which lets you generate some simple kinds of waves. Of course, this is not meant as a replacement for C sound or stuff like this. I don't want to reinvent this. This is just some simple stuff so that you can get going right away without needing other special interfaces. But it's really only a very basic framework so that you can represent wave data in queue. And so there are some operations for drawing waves which utilize queue's graphics interface, and then I've also thrown in interfaces to lipseparate and fastest Fourier transform in the West. So, but I don't want to go into any details there. Where I want to go into some details is with the OSC interface, which implements pretty faithfully, I hope, Berkeley's Open Sound Control Protocol, and all standard features are supported, including Nest bundles. Not all of the non-standard type specifiers are supported at the moment, but it's enough to support SuperCollider fairly well. And there's also a little UDP transport layer included in this module. And we also have a special script for interfacing to SuperCollider. This is what I'm going to show in the demo in a minute. And the current version I've written in Queue itself, so you can program this low-level stuff pretty well in Queue without having to resort to C. But I'm considering LibLow because then someone else takes care of this stuff, and other standardizations and stuff like this, I don't have to follow with my own module, but it's also already there. So I might switch to something which interfaces to Liblo in the future. Well, this is a typical, this is not a complete program now, because writing something which translates between media and OSC can be pretty involved, but it's the core of the program. So these are five equations which handle the common cases. And this is for, well, this is a kind of processing loop which takes, well, what's that supposed to be? Well, this is the dictionary of playing notes right now. So I keep track of some important information. In particular, I keep track of the supercollider synthesizer number, the note number there. And this Q here is the Q which of voices which I have still available to be played. Those are supercollider synth note numbers as well. And then I have the MIDI that I want to process here. So, and the basic idea is, of course, if you get a note off, then you have to look at what synth the note is now, the note now is on playing, what synth is playing the note right now, and then you switch it off, you set its gate to zero. And well, and this is pretty much what is taken care of here in the first three equations. And then the really interesting thing, this is just another more note off if the note already is already playing, but the really interesting part is here. So if you want a note to start sounding, you just send supercollider something, some parameter, so you have to tell it the frequency, or rather the synth note, you have to tell the frequency, how much gain do I want to have, so the volume or velocity, and I have to switch the gate to one. So this is the essential mechanics of a MIDI to OSC processing loop in a few equations. And you see it's also very condensed, and if you're used to reading equations like this, if you know some Haskell or ML, then I think it's pretty much self-documenting. Wow, okay, I made it. what I'm going to show now are no polished applications, but just some programs I've written over the time to demonstrate that this really works and that I can program stuff in Q, which is at least not much worse than stuff you can program in C or C++. And, well, okay, let's have a look at those. Yes, I think we need a quick sound check now. Okay, this is good. So this was only the Yamaha synthesizer right now. I wanted to quickly show, well, what's fairly useful is this program here. That's, well, a kind of MS Connect, for the people who know MediShare, kind of MS Connect program on steroids. So it does everything that MS Connect does, but a bit more. You can configure connections between different MediShare clients on the fly here, so just by clicking. So if I want to see whether my MIDI input works, then yeah, then I just connect it to the input driver. Now I see the notes that are coming in, so that I can use that for quickly checking. But it's the program does quite well useful stuff as well. I have a setup here. Let me make this bigger. So it's just a config file right now. So said that it's not very polished yet, but you can configure automatic connections between MediShare clients here, and you can also configure MediShare driver programs, so they get started up automatically, so that I don't have to worry about this stuff. So this is one program that I'm using there, and This is another one, a little utility I've written for playing MIDI files. And what I wanted to actually show to you is this Super Collider client I wrote. So here I've done the GUI in Qt. This was implemented before I had this SWIG interface, and so I actually programmed the main program in C++ and then interfaced let run Q as a client in C++. Meanwhile, I'd probably do it the other way around. Still program the GUI in C++, so that's the only reasonable way you can do Qt, and then interface, just put this into a library, use SWIG to interface to that, and so I can also do Qt interfaces in Q. Of course, we in the end we will have to do a real wrapper for entire Qt so that you can program that directly in Q. But right now it's working. It's just not very convenient to have to resort to C++ there. So, well, what can I do here? I already have Jack running, so this is just a little wrapper, of course. It just uses Super Collider behind the scenes, and this is just a little GUI and the MIDI to OC translator. So it's a kind of real-time synthesizer you can play via MIDI. I just have to boot up Super Collider here. Stefan, you know those messages. And so you probably recognize it. Then I can start it here. And then I can play something. And so this is Super Collider now. Well, I already have 32 X1s. This machine is not really configured very well. I still have very much troubles with the 2.6 kernels. And okay, these are some cheesy synths I wrote in Super Collider. We can take a look at them there. 1 minute, I take a song which is maybe a bit more. This is just a simple subtractive synthesizer. And well, this is defined in a Super Collider program, which is written in the Super Collider programming language. So the idea behind Q is to have some kind of nexus which lets you use a lot of different open source technology but not reinvent the wheel for everything else. So using the OSC interface, I'm also planning to do interfaces to C sound, of course, and to PD, so that I can use to Q to do the control, because I think for me it's more convenient than doing it in other languages. So what we're listening to right now is, let me look. Giant string soup up there it is. I also have a couple of strong, you briefly saw this. Okay, that's the definition up there. That's just Super Collider code. So it's, well. And the front end also has FFT display and stuff like this, so I use this to control whether there's something wrong with my synthesizer and stuff like that. Okay, it also has here a little control surface so that you can configure how the MIDI controllers works and stuff like this. And you can also use this to control stuff directly here, for instance the parameters for a simple Schroeder reverb, which is programmed in Super Collider. Of course, it reads the control parameters from the binary synthesizer files which Super Collider generates, and then it presents them there. So that's just a little application to work with Super Collider, which is written in Q, except the GUI, which is written in C++.
All right.
Okay, another program. I just wondered if I have 5 more minutes. Okay, then I wanted to show you something I've recently written for a joint project with musicians and students in Mainz. We are doing a concert project in summer, and we had some ideas to work with MIDI to generate some cool stuff. So this is one of the programs I wrote, which is an arpeggiator. Actually, it's an algorithmic composition program in the disguise of an arpeggiator. I call it Raptor, the random arpeggiator. It's not been released yet. I'm still working on this. And well, I'm going to show what this can do. In difference to other arpeggiators, I think Raptor is pretty unique in that aspect. Maybe with the exception of certain of the Karma keyboard from Korg, is that this is not driven by any patterns. So the program just picks up the MIDI data it gets and then does certain computations to decide which notes to play now and also with which velocity to play the notes. So this sounds like this. So now they're in standby mode, and I just need to start playing. This is a MIDI guitar, so it picks up not only sound but also the MIDI, the notes that I play, and then I can start playing stuff. So this is just some nice E major chord, minor chord, major 7 chord. So I think you hear that it really follows the chords. Also, this is a diminished chord now, and actually I can play anything I like. I can also play any rhythm I like. Just going to stop this for a moment. So this is based on mathematical theories of music by the composer Clarence Barlow, who has written a software already at the end of the 1970s, beginning of the 1980s. It's called Autobus, and this is based on pretty much the same theories, with some stuff of my own added. And one nice thing about this is that you can play any meter you want. I think there's been a question about arpeggiators on Linux Audio Developers List just a few days ago. So this would answer this question probably. Okay, now I take another rhythm. I just want to do something crazy. Let's say we want to play flamenco music or something like this, and I want to make well, how it's called in English, 7 tuplets, 7 in the time, 7/8 in the time of 8, or something like this. No, 16th of this now. Okay, just need to go it here. Okay, I've selected a new rhythm, then I can start playing again. I couldn't play this myself, so. Okay, there's a lot more stuff that I can do with this program, but maybe the most interesting, and we've been working with this for our concert project, is you have the notes are computed and selected according to certain harmonicities, which is a way to measure how good a note fits with the notes that I play on the guitar. And one way to modify this is one easy way is I have a parameter here called harmonic preference, which means that the larger this parameter is, the more it will pick notes which sound very harmonic according to this mathematical criterion. So if I want to modify this, I have a bias parameter here which takes the pull strength and modifies the harmonic preference according to the current pulse strength. So if pulse strength is, if you have a two-based meter, you have downbeat, upbeat, downbeat, upbeat. If you have a 4-4 meter, you have downbeat, upbeat, downbeat, downbeat, upbeat, downbeat, upbeat. So and with 7, you have to modify this again. So the pulse strength, which you also hear, the velocities, is taken to modify the harmonic preference parameter. And I can do this, for instance, if I take a positive bias value here, it will modify the harmonic preference on the weak pulses so that it lets more, weird notes through. And this sounds like this. Well, maybe I should pick another rhythm then, so that you can better hear that. Well, let's go back to good old 4-4 again. Oops, I should have brought my mouse. So this one, and this one. Well, it's always difficult in a presentation. So I need to modify this again. So I just reloaded those presets I've saved. Let's do a stop and a start again. So this already sounds still fairly good. Some notes start sounding really weird on the weak pulses. Maybe you notice this. This becomes all the more apparent when I also modify the bias of the harmonicity bounds itself. Sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? So you can do really atonal pieces with that feature as well. Maybe something completely atonal, then I just set the harmonic preference to 0, and then the minimum harmonicity to 0 as well. So then it starts playing really weird stuff. So and the point is, you can always control those parameters at runtime using MIDI control input, and this means that you can really morph between, for instance, different rhythms, but also tonality, atonality. This is something which is also done by Autobusk, but not interactively. You can use this as a composition device, Autobusk I mean, but this Raptor program is more for live improvisation and doing things, well, by trial and error, which, well, I'm quite happy that this really worked. Okay. Yes, that's it.
From the Sea Sound Front, something about the rebels who would do their own generators? No?
No. Not really.
Paul Davis, USA. Has doing the work on Raptor given you much insight into how difficult what the Karma does really is?
What?
You mentioned some of the similarities with what the Karma does, the keyboard. I wonder if you had any insights from doing this into how hard.
Well, I've only read about Karma. It's a patented technology, so I've not really taken a deeper look at it. What I've read about it, that it uses a lot and lot of parameters. Here you only have a few parameters, maybe, well, 2 dozen at most, but the important parameters are just this harmonicity and harmonic preference and the rhythm and so on. So it's maybe, the important parameters is maybe only 6 dozen. So that becomes, well, you can keep track of that. So, well, I'd say it's more, well, mathematical theory of music becoming a software, and it turned out, I was quite surprised that it really worked, but I don't know how Karma does it really. This is a fairly simple algorithm when you, once you have the theory behind it. Maybe I give a talk about that next year.
Any more questions? The guy who's as far away as he could be.
Coming nearer, thank God, this could open for Germany. And my question is, because it's a scripting language, how do you consider the embeddability of it, like running Q inside another program like PDE?
It's possible.
Is it already done?
It's possible, yes, you can. Well, that's how I did the C++ GUIs, because I didn't have the SWIG interface then. So, and that's also the way the Apache module is done. It's just the Q interpreter embedded in a C module. And it's possible, it's not as complete as with Python or something, where you can have multiple instances of the interpreter running at the same time. It's just one instance, but it's done. It works. Yes.
Okay, so then thank you very much. Okay. Great talk. Before you run out, 2 short things. The first one, if you arrive late for a talk, please use the rear door, because the speaker might be might be a little aroused. People suddenly rush in from the front door. The other thing is, Paul Davis asked me about this. There was an announcement to do a LUTSPA 2 workshop tomorrow, but we are not sure about the interested audience. So if nobody insists on this, he would rather like to relabel this to be a Jack workshop. So hands up for those who really are for a LUTSPA 2 workshop. Just getting votes. Not too much? Okay. So Paul, we'll relabel this to be a Jack workshop then. Okay, we'll go on in 5 minutes with Stefan Netz and Jan Olerey on Jack DLP.
I'll be right.